out of your soul and playing out of your soul.
Yes.
Amen. It is a blessing once again to be
in
the house of the Lord. I want to give special thanks to Brother John for holding down the fort for us. Amen. Got good report that everything went well.
Yes.
And that's the sign of a healthy church.
Amen.
Church should be able to function even if the pastor is away for a while. But we have some qualified individuals here to help hold up the bloodstained banner. Amen.
Amen.
So we're going to go right ahead. Well, thank God for Sister Karen being back in the house with us again today. It's always a blessing to see her and among all the rest of you. The Perrys are here for, we expected them next week, but they came a week early. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. That's all good. Y'all know this house is open for you at all times. Amen. Amen. We thank God for letting us be here today. So we're not going to prolong the time. Do have a good word from the Lord. And I'm going to call your attention to just a few verses that we have been talking about, kind of a theme. We had a theme going there throughout the year. We've tried to stick close to it as much as possible. And I believe it is really the entirety of what Jesus wants us to know. And it's something that will take you a lifetime to learn. So there can never be too many messages about learning to love like Jesus. Amen. So because until we get where we can, I always tell people, when you get where you can go down there and walk over to East St. Louis without a bridge, then you've arrived.
All right.
And if you can't do it, or walk over to St. Charles without a bridge, then maybe you've gotten there. But if you can't do that, I heard one dude say, you know, I tried that and water only came up to my ankles. So you're a good liar too, aren't you? Yeah, you really are. Amen. So, you know. Okay, somebody told me St. Louis froze over back sometime long ago and you could walk across the river, over the river. I said, you wouldn't catch me out there with my big hips on there. There'd be no way. Yeah, I don't care how frozen it is. Amen. But in either case, let's move along. We thank God for his word. Thank him for every one of you. We did have a great time celebrating a graduation. Amen.
Okay.
We look up to those who take time to go to school and study and graduate and move ahead. We have some graduates in here. You don't have to be a young folk to be a graduate. And we got some graduates in the house, amen, that come along and we keep on studying, amen. So we recommend that. But in either case, it was a blessing to see some new territory and go somewhere where we had not been before, amen. So let's do that in the Word. Let's go somewhere where we haven't been before. We're going to boldly go, as they say, to some places where no man has ever gone. Amen. You can always do that in God's Word.
Amen.
Amen. So we're going to look here in the Old Covenant, the book of Deuteronomy, in the 10th chapter, verses 12 to 22. Help us with our subject today. Deuteronomy 10 and 12, this is from the KJV, you can read with me. And now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord thy God, the earth also with all that therein is. Only the Lord hath a delight in thy fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you above all people, as it is this day. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. For the Lord thy your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and widow, and he loveth the stranger in giving him food and raiment. Love ye therefore the stranger, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Therefore thou shalt, the Lord thy God, him shalt thou serve, and him shalt thou cleave to, and swear by his name. He is thy God, that none doth these great and terrible things. Go on. Thy fathers, your eyes have seen, thy fathers went down into Egypt with 70 persons, and now the Lord hath made thee as the stars of heaven for multitude. Amen. Moses, after 40 years, recounting what God has done to the children of Israel. May God bless the reading and the hearing of his word. Now we go to the new covenant. For just a few words from the Apostle Paul to the church at Ephesus, Ephesians 5:1-11. Let's read. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not once be named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. You may be seated in the sanctuary, and may God add a blessing to the reading and the hearing, and above all the doing of his holy word. Amen. And we want to use just for the next few moments the subject of growing up in love.
Amen.
Growing up in love. When we talk about growing up, we're just talking about becoming more mature. And love is definitely a growth process, especially in a fallen world. We don't have to look too far to see that the world is falling. You can just flick the TV on for 5 minutes or look out your window. You'll find out the world is falling. You can go to work. You can go to the grocery store. Anywhere you go, you're going to see some kind of craziness, and you know that the world is definitely falling. And God is aware of this. And so this message today, I hope, is going to strengthen us, because through the process of everything we see that's out of order with God, the one thing we know about God is he is the only constant that never changes.
That's right. Amen.
That's why we say hold on to God's unchanging hand, no matter what you're going through. And realize that, as we said in a previous message not too long back, Romans 8:28, for we know that God works all things together for good to the ones who love God and who are the called according to his purpose. See, so God's people are always in the midst of whatever's going on, and God is with you in the midst of whatever it is that you're dealing with. Even though there's people who don't believe him, there are folks all around who hate. Some people say they hate God. I've heard that before. I don't know if you've had. Usually when I hear it, I step or two over and say, I don't know what you think. You know, but God's given you his world. He's given you your life. You can't even take your next breath. How could you ever hate God? But that's something where people get hung up, because the fallenness of the world can take somebody there for some reason. But you and I are learning. This is what we signed up for when we said, I trust the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of my sin. Because he's the only perfect one who came in with no fault fault whatsoever.
None.
From the womb to the tomb, no fault. See, lived in the world spotlessly without a flaw.
Amen.
In order to satisfy God for wretches like me, and I'll not put you in that, but you can do it if you know it's true. So he did that for me, and I like to personalize the fact that God sent his son all the way out of eternity to save a wretch like me. See, I believe that writer who wrote that Amazing Grace understood that. You know, the Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. To save a wretch like me. So I ain't talking about nobody else. I'm talking about this wretch here. You see, he says, I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. See, so there are people in the world who are in that exact situation who have never come to understand the grace of God. So you and I, being aware of that, we have to be one up on the people who are not aware of it. You know, and the thing is, you can be one up because you have started in the love of God, if you have accepted the love of God. And so now the purpose for which we have been left here, you know, God could just save people, zap them, take them on up out of here. But what would happen to the rest of them? God is concerned about the bigger picture. He's concerned about everybody. The ones who seem to be the most heinous of all the people who are on the earth, he's concerned about them too. So he doesn't take us out of the mix when he saves us. But you know what he does? He covers you and gives you confidence. You're covered, and I give you my confidence. The confidence is I'm with you no matter what you go through. You can trust me to be in the middle of your situation. No matter how it looks, no matter how many people are against you, I am still with you. That's why he promised, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. So if you look around the world still here, guess what? He's still with you. But that's what he said, I will be with you always, even to the end of the world. So sometimes it starts to get a little thick, and we start to go through changes and difficult circumstances, and we start to think, well, this is pretty bad here.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes you might let your mind slip into, this is where the problem comes. I think we start trying to base what God is doing for us on personal worthiness.
Yeah.
And you know what? You can't do that. How much is my personal worthiness worth? See what I'm saying? It's better than it used to be because God's been working on me. But he started off with a basket case. You see? And he's still working on it. It's getting a little better. You know? And I'm learning to praise him a little bit more and to hang on a little while longer and to go just an extra mile. And all of that, he's teaching you that as you go along. You know, but if you're basing it on that, the devil will whisper in your ear, you know, oh, you know what you did. And he'll make you feel bad.
He will.
But think about this, and this is the reason I wanted you to see what Moses wrote to the children of Israel here. As we learn about growing up in love. Paul said it this way to the Corinthian church who was having a lot of trouble. They were fighting about this, that, and the other, the misunderstanding, spiritual gifts. Some of them were trying to fake it, act like they had some spiritual gifts that they didn't have at all.
Faking it.
Somebody even say, fake it till you make it. Well, don't do that in the church. You don't have to fake it. God gives it to you honestly. You don't have to fake it. See, and he told them, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I thought as a child, I reasoned as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And he began to explain to them what the real character of love is.
Yes.
See, God loves you. He accepts you.
Yes.
You don't have to push it.
Right.
Just walk in it.
That's it.
That's why the Bible says walk in it. Walk in faith.
Amen.
It's a walk. I'm going to take a step in faith. You know what? I may have to step back 3 steps sometime when stuff gets rough. But I'm going to keep on taking another step in faith every time. I'm going to get back up from whatever knocked me down. And I'm going to get back up and keep on taking another step. That's why the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. You can't go by what it looks like. You know what? It might look pretty bad a lot of times. Say, well, this ain't looking good at all. And you wonder, where is God in the midst of that? And I have one answer. You know what he did? He has never changed.
Never
moved. He's still right where he was when it started. He's going to be right there to take you through, and he wants you to grow up in love.
Amen.
Growing up in love just answers where we, what we need to focus on. God doesn't have any growing to do. You know what? He took on growing to himself when he became a man. He took off some things and he put on some things in order to go through life just like you and I, experiencing everything that you and I have been through. Even from being born of a woman. Adam had not experienced being born of a woman. But Jesus does. That's why we call him God's only begotten Son of God. So he's been through every human experience that you and I have been through, yet without sin. That's the amazing thing about Jesus. The motivation of Jesus was always love. He loved the Father. He knew that the Father loved us. And he knew that sin is unacceptable to the Father.
That's right.
So therefore, somebody's got to settle the debt. And you know what? Y'all can't do it. That's what he was thinking. Now, I'm putting that in modern English. I don't know if Jesus says y'all or not. But y'all and us, we can't do it. See? And so what? You know what? He told the Father before it happened, Father, I will do it. Prepare a body for me. And I'll go down and I'll fix it, even before it was broke. The devil never even surprised God. People think this got haphazard like this, and God said, oh, what am I going to do? That never happened. God was ahead of the devil. We looked at that back on Mother's Day. Long time ago, he wrote it in the book that I have a plan for this already, even before it happens. So you don't need to worry about it. And you know what? That's why I love the Bible. Because I can get in here and you get in Genesis 2 and you find out God says something's not good. Then wait a minute, God, how's this something not good? There's no sin yet, Lord. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to get you to see. So I'm fixing it before the sin happens. And I'm going to make it perfect. You know how I'm going to do it? It's not good that the man should be alone. That's the first thing the Bible says. Not good, right? I'll make a woman. Then when the fullness of time has come, I can come through the whole human experience and live life. Love the Father. Love mankind. Love the haters who are coming all around me. Love the misunderstanders who don't understand what I'm doing. Love all of those folks twisted up and bent up by the devil. Beaten on and broken by the world and the flesh. Love on all of them and still never sin. And then when the right time comes, I'm going to go and satisfy the Most High. See, I'm going to stay here, start my ministry according to the word at the age of 30, waited all those 30 years, still never sinned, never broke God's law, but the law said he had to be 30 to be a priest. So he waited till he was 30 and he started to call his disciples. And that's who we are, his disciples. And what he told them when he had defeated death in the grave, Matthew 28:18, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Then he says, go ye therefore and teach all the nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you. Always, even to the end of the world. So we don't have a new message or a new technique. We don't have to create a new way of reaching the people. All this stuff you hear people saying. You need to just love on the people. Let them know God loves you. He paid your bill. There's a saying that they used to say all the time. K-I-S-S. Some of y'all know what that means. Keep it simple, stupid. You don't have to rack it all up and create stuff and come up with methods and techniques. And it's not about psychology or any of that. It'll help you maybe so you can understand the folks hung up in that. But it really isn't about that. We need to grow up in love. Love is higher than all of that. And you can read that. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not puffed up. And all those things that Paul says about love in Romans 13. But look at this. I want to show you another spot here, and this will get us moving ahead. How can we grow up in love? Notice what God told the children of Israel. Keep in mind the time setting in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, the word itself means Deuteronomos. It's two Greek words. Two or second law. Namas is law. Deutero is two, where we get the number duet or two. The second law. So now the children of Israel have been wandering around in the desert for 40 years. Moses went back at the age of 80 and called them out of Egypt. Because God said, go back, tell the Pharaoh, let my people go. See, and it took him, he was over in exile in the land of Midian, tending the Jethro's flock. See, and God, he didn't know God had a wife for him over there. And children, his family would be found in the land of Midian. So God sends him back. Y'all know all that story. We're not going to rehash all that. But he saw a bush burning that was not being consumed. And he said, that's strange. That bush is burning. I don't see nothing smoking and it's still green. That's weird. Let me go head on over here. Let me get away from here. And he went across a little ways grazing Jethro's flock. Came back after the flock was full. It was still burning and not consumed. Like, wow, that was hours ago, and it still looks like it did when I came past here the first time. See, let me get a little closer and see what's up here. So as he started to get closer, you know what the story said. The Lord said, take off your shoes, Moses, because the ground you're standing on is holy ground. See? And so Moses took off his shoes and he began to tell him, I got a mission for you. Go back to Egypt. You know what? Oh, Egypt, you know, that's where I killed the Egyptian, Lord. Maybe you don't remember that. And tell that Pharaoh who's in charge, let my people go so they can come and worship me. You know what? Our life is really about loosing some stuff in our life so we can go and worship him. So many times we let stuff in our life keep us tied back and we don't worship the Lord. Oh, I gotta go deal with this or that or the other. But it's very important to let that go and worship him. See? Because you can get hung up in all the stuff. Stuff can get you hung up. It can lock up your mind. Where it becomes so important to me that worshiping God is on the back burner. And you see, God wants you to know that I can put the burner right here and keep it burning and not even consume what's burning. See, I got power and authority. Can do anything but fail. See, and just listen to me. What we learn when we learn to grow up in love is to listen to God, grow closer to God, realize he's always with you. I'll never leave you, he said, nor forsake you. Didn't he say it? So you don't ever have to worry about him not being with me or forsaking me. I'm with you always. I'll be with you in trouble, he says. Psalms 91. You know, even when the lion and the adder come upon you, I'm still with you. And you will trample up on them under your feet. God says, so when troublous times come, I'm there with you. So you never have to worry about him not being there. The question is, sometimes are we mentally there with him? It's easy for you to get your mind on a tangent and be thinking that whatever I'm dealing with has more power or more authority than what God is doing in my life. And that's never the truth.
Never.
Never ever the truth. God loves you. You know, and this is what I want you to see. You wouldn't be saved if he didn't already call you ahead of time. He called you. You didn't call him. Jesus said, you did not choose me. I chose you. I picked you. Why are you interested in God? Because I picked you, God says. I took you out of whatever madness you were dealing with and brought you into an understanding that I gave my son for you, and I'm here to bless you and to save you. You wouldn't come up with that on your own. It's not through intellectual assent that I come up with, I calculate that the gospel is true. No. God, the Holy Spirit, convicted you that you have no hope without Jesus. And that God sent Jesus so you can have all hope.
Amen.
So that you can know for sure, 100%, that my relationship with God is right.
Model.
You know what? No one has ever chosen him. You think you chose him. You say, oh, I remember one day I heard a message and I got up and came to the front. He chose you.
Yes.
He motivated you. Get up right now.
Yes.
Connect with the church.
Right.
And I'm going to take you from here. Notice what happens here. Now Israel says here, Deuteronomy 10 and 12. And now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God and to walk in all his ways and to love him?
Yeah.
Concentrate on that when you're in the middle of a traffic jam. And to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Separate where the most important thing on my list is my relationship with God.
Right.
It's not the bills sitting on the table or on the desk. It has nothing to do with the folks at the job or the office.
Right.
Or the lack of an office to go to.
Mm-hmm.
Or any of that. It has nothing to do with that. God says, I got you right where you are.
Right.
You know what else? I know exactly where you are.
Yeah.
I know what you need.
Right.
I'm going to give you what you need.
Yeah. Amen.
So he says here, that's what he says. Moses telling them, serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes which I command thee this day for thy good. And what if we do what God says? It's for your benefit. Never going to hurt you. Suppose the world kept the commandments of God. We wouldn't need any police. Wouldn't need no jails. You wouldn't need death chambers and the kind of stuff we have to function on earth. But the fact is, people break the most broken thing on earth is God's law. Notice what he says here, moving on in verse 15. Only the Lord hath had a delight in thy fathers to love them. And he chose their seed after them, even you, above all people, as it is this day.
Right.
Sometimes we have issues with our fathers. But God selected these fathers. He's speaking about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham was minding his business. God said, get thee out of that country and away from your kindred, not of your father's house. Come into a land that I'll show you and I'll bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I'll bless the one who blesses you and curse him who curses you. And in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. That's what Moses is talking about here.
Wow.
The covenant with your fathers.
Yeah.
You weren't even in existence back then.
That's right.
But God was looking ahead to your coming into the world, coming into being.
Yes.
Do you know that? That generations before God put godly people there somehow, yep, so that somewhere down the line in your life, you will become a part of the chosen people.
Yeah.
And so that's what he reminds them about here. And says he had a deal with your fathers, your forefathers. See that? Wonderful thing. So this had nothing to do with the people to whom he is now speaking. This is multiple generations later. Moses has even aged now another 40 years by the time this text is written. He is approaching 120 years old. He was 80 years old when he was on the backside of the desert. Slew an Egyptian at the age of 40. When he was 40 years old and fled, yep, to the land of Midian.
Yep.
Stayed there for 40 years. God calls him back in the last 40 years of his life. Sends him back. That time is now elapsed. But he did it with power.
Yes.
Because he brought them all the way to the edge of the Red Sea. And they had nowhere to go. Y'all know the story.
Yes.
And the Egyptians, their enemy, was about to consume them, take them out. They had paid them to leave after all the plagues and all that. We're going to pay you folks. Just get out. We don't want to see you no more. Then they changed their mind. Well, what we pay them for? Why don't we just kill them and keep all our stuff? Change their mind. Y'all know the story. And then when they got right up to where their back was against the Red Sea, and the enemy was in their face coming after them, what are we going to do now, Moses? Look at the trouble you got us into. And God spoke to Moses, what's that in your hand, Moses? That's my rod. Stretch forth your rod.
Yeah.
And he brought them through the Red Sea,
yeah,
on dry land.
Yeah.
And consumed the enemy. Put a wall of fire up there. I'm going to stop you from pursuing,
yeah,
my people.
Yeah.
God has a way to protect you.
Yes, he does.
He has a way to bless you.
Yeah.
He's got you covered.
Yeah.
On every side.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
And he brought them through. Destroyed their enemies. You know how that went. So then after that, 40 more years later, he's writing this to the generations that have accrued in the wilderness. And he told them, the Lord had delight in your fathers. That was totally motivated by God. Guess what? Abraham didn't choose God. God chose him first.
Right.
Then he chose God.
Mm-hmm.
See, same thing happens with every one of us. And then he said this, circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart. Wow, that almost seems like an oxymoron, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
We know what circumcision is.
Yeah.
But he says of your heart. Where is your heart? Where is your mind?
Yeah. Yeah.
Concerning me.
Yes.
Is there some stuff blocking you from seeing me in your heart?
Cut it out.
Get it out of your life.
All right.
See, this could apply to men and women. This is number 16. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart. And be no more stiff-necked.
Yes.
So whatever that circumcision that you need is, it's making you hard-headed toward the things of God.
Yes.
You got some hard-headedness toward what God wants you to do. God says, cut that out.
Amen.
Simply put.
Yes.
For the Lord thy God is the God of gods. There is no God greater than him. And he is the Lord of lords, a great God and a mighty and terrible. Which regardeth not persons. I'm not impressed with anybody. Nobody's done anything to impress me. Mr. Trump or whoever you want to name. Don't make no difference. I'm not impressed with you. I've been dealing with Trumps all your life. So I'm not impressed with you. So I'm not impressed with you. Yeah, I gave you some authority. But you can't regulate nothing. I get the last say on what happened. For he says he's the God of gods, the Lord of lords, the great and mighty and terrible. We don't like to talk about God being terrible.
Nope.
In other words, he got something to blow you completely away. You think you've seen something now, but you ain't seen nothing yet. So don't play with me. I'm serious. I'm a serious guy. He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and the widow. He's looking out for people who others have kicked to the curb. And loveth the stranger and giving him food and raiment. See, people who are disregarded by the culture and society, God's looking out for them. Love ye therefore the stranger. That's why I say this is about love. Mature love looks out for other people. It's not self-centered. It's not stuck on what I need and only what I need and my people. It looks for folks who have deficiency and administers into their life. For ye were strangers in the land of Egypt, and I made your enemies pay you to leave. Do y'all remember that? And I brought you out with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. See, they thought they could overpower you, but I showed them, no, I got you. I got my people. They're covered. See that? So he's reminding them, think back where we came from. So therefore thou shalt fear the Lord thy God. Him shalt you serve. Him shalt you cleave. Cleave to him. That's the same word used to talk about the marriage relationship.
Yes.
A man shall leave his father and mother, cleave to his wife. It's supposed to be a very close relationship. And swear by his name. He is thy praise. He is thy God that hath done thee these great and terrible things which thine eyes have seen. How many of you have seen some things that you knew that was God in your life? That had to be God. No other way. I could be where I'm at now if it had not been for the Lord on my side. And notice what he says here. Thy fathers went down into Egypt 70. Only 70 people. And now the Lord thy God hath made thee as the stars of heaven for multitude. Wow, multiplied you so much you can't count it. It's amazing, the tribes of Israel. So I wanted you to see that first. And realize that God picked you. He has your life is determined by the destiny that God has picked for you.
Yes.
It's not determined by your paycheck. Or the lack of a paycheck or whatever it may be.
Yes.
It's not determined by that. The Most High God has something for you to do.
Yes.
He's directing you. Are you listening?
Yes.
Are you ready to grow up in love and his love?
Mm-hmm.
Paul writing to the Ephesians says, be ye therefore followers of God.
Yes.
That word in the Greek is mimetai. In other words, mimic God.
Mm-hmm.
You act like God acts. How are you going to find out? Look at his word. That's easy. Or how am I going to mimic God? Look and see what he did. And emulate what he did. That's another word. Be therefore followers of God as dear children. I'm amazed that he uses the term children to describe us. And he is a father of all the terms he could have said. The model prayer could have been our God and most high omnipotent one. It doesn't say that though. Could have been my Lord. Could have been my judge. Because all of that's true. But you know what Jesus said? Pray our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Father of all the things he could have been called. My Creator. Didn't say that. He said, call him Father.
Amen.
Isn't that awesome?
Yes.
And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Now, then he talks about all this stuff we sometimes struggle with. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be named among you as becoming saints. Now, how can you have a verse that clear and have people arguing about whether they can continue in sin? This whole section is just so clear. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather the giving of thanks. You ought to be thanking God rather than doing any of these things. But this ye know, he said, this is common knowledge, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Still using the term father and children. Imagine had you have done those things in front of your own personal father.
Wow.
What would your father do? You know what? I didn't even try it. When I thought I wanted to try some of that, I got out of my father's house. Got my boots and got moving. But I know he ain't putting up with none of this. Not under his roof. That wasn't going to happen. You know? And so think of it that way. Be ye not therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Don't let somebody tell you God has now relaxed his requirements and it's okay for two men to be married. Or two women. He ain't relaxed his requirements. What book are you people reading? God wants to love you out of your sin. He's not trying to keep you in it and condone you in it. No way. And it doesn't make any difference what your sin is. See, sin is sin, and we know what it is, but we want to skate around it and act like different stuff. We better try to read the Bible. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, right? Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. So the evidence of predestination, this is what I want to say, and we can wrap this up, or divine election by God. How do I know God chose me? Of each and all of us who believe, is easy to see when we examine the covenant people, Israel, whom God caused to exist and set his love upon them to keep them in order to fulfill his own promises, to bring them into the blessed land that he had promised, of which they knew not, and also serves as an example to us of how our return of love to God must be nurtured and developed as we walk and mature in Christ. See, you and I should be walking and maturing in Christ.
Amen.
The reason God saved them, he wanted to put them in the midst of folks who didn't know him.
Amen.
And they can say, look at how God is blessing these people here.
Amen.
Just look at the blessing. What y'all got going on? You know, it was working.
Amen.
You know what? Rahab said, you know what? I heard about your God.
Uh-huh.
When the two spies came in.
Uh-huh.
Remember that?
Yes.
Oh, I heard about your God. And I know he is God. Because
yes.
She heard about how he just vanquished kingdoms and just gave you everything all those kings had. He whooped heads and y'all, your God is God. She knew. So what he was doing in her life was a testimony of how he is. And she, you know what? She was a harlot. She said, I'm ready to stop all this. Just hook me up with your God. That's my interpretation. Hook me up with your God and I will cover you. I stop all this. And you know what? She married into the lineage of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
To show you how effective a relationship with God can be.
Yes.
And so, but God is the one who chose us. Remember that. He loves you. He chose you. He elected you. He will keep you.
Yes.
And he will continue to bless you. So the battle will be tough because of the resistance of the enemies of God against us. That's what makes it hard. You live in a world full of people ain't studying God.
That's right.
You might be in a family of folks ain't studying God.
That's right. Amen.
Your church folk ain't nothing but a bunch of hypocrites. He always tell them, well, you know what? Yeah, there might be some hypocrites over there, but we got room for more. Don't you come on over. You might want to call us hypocrites, but you're a worse one by sitting over there where you're at, not trying to do nothing about your situation. So basically, we have to learn to love them so they can see what God is doing in our lives. So the battle will be tough because of that resistance from the enemies of God against us. The flesh, the world, and the devil. Our own flesh works against us.
Oh, yes.
And they will not easily give up. That's why it's called warfare. Have you noticed Paul called it spiritual warfare? Warfare don't mean, oh, we're playing a game and I'm, you know, there's no animosity. Warfare is fight to the death. Either you're going to lose or I'm going to lose. But we both can't keep standing. Somebody got to go down. So that's what you need to think about, spiritual warfare. Because your enemy is not easily going to give up. Therefore, we must put forth maximal effort to grow into the love of God and depart from evil.
Yeah.
Put that on the top of your list.
Yeah.
Maximal effort. What do I need to do? To shut this stuff down that I know is ungodly in my life. With the grace and the chastening of the Lord, we can successfully achieve our goals. Now, you notice I said chastening. People really don't want to talk about that in church. But the scripture says, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him.
That's right.
For whom the Lord loves, he chastens. And he scourges every son whom he receives. So God is going to spank you, just like if you had a good father. He would spank you. If you didn't do right, I'm going to spank you to get you together because I don't want to hurt you. I told you, leave that stove alone. You won't leave it alone? Okay, I'm going to pop you, or either I'm going to let you go ahead and do it so you can find out what a hot stove does to you. One or the other. Then I'll take you and wrap you up and tell you, that's why I told you don't touch it. See what I'm saying?
Yes.
So with grace and chastening from the Lord, we can continue on. You know what? I would rather have his grace and his instruction and not get the chastening. But he's going to chasten you anyway because some stuff's over your head, you don't even know why you're messed up. You don't. You may not know. You don't have an idea why you keep doing that. So God say, okay, I'm going to show you. And I'm going to fix you anyway. His goal is to fix you. And to give you victory. And you know why? So you can give him praise because you know it was him. That was him who broke that thing off of me. Because I had no idea how to deal with it. See? So some stuff's over our head. So we're going to grow up in his love, in which passes all understanding, and have victory to which we have been called and has been paid for in full by the blood of Jesus. Think about that. Your whole plan of salvation has already been covered. God has covered it. He paid for it already. There's nothing missing from it. Whatever it is you struggling with, paid for.
That's right.
Paid for. Look at that now. So why am I still dealing with it? Maybe I need to talk to him some more about it.
Amen. Amen.
Maybe I need to say, Lord, I'm going to fast and put my face to the wall and talk to you to help you give me some understanding of what I need to do.
Yes, Lord.
But I'm not going to ignore it. Ignoring it won't help. See, you got to acknowledge it. Put it on the altar. That's why I love this table. You come here, lay it on the table like we did with that bucket yesterday. Yes, this stuff here, gotta go. And we offer it up. We offer it up, send it up to smoke to God. See, and that's just a way of us saying, I know this, I acknowledge this. Lord, please deal with it. If you have an issue, no matter who you are, what you're doing, God loves you anyway. No matter what you're doing. You know, I would never send anybody out of here because they are struggling with something that is not a good thing. We consider this door open for everyone.
Oh, yes.
but not for you to continue with everything.
No way.
And I don't know what to tell you how to get out of a mess if you twisted certain kinds of ways, but I do know somebody who does. And I can tell you some mess about me. He untwisted. That was twisted up and went right. You don't have to be any particular thing, and none of it is any better or any worse. It's all ungodliness. See? So if you're a liar, that's just as bad as somebody dealing with some other kind of a mess. And people say, you know, oh, it's that you shall not lie. That don't seem like that should be on the list when you shall not kill. But it is. Sin is sin. You shall not covet. That's a hard one. Don't even act like you want something God hasn't given you. And we have coveting sessions. I have a joke I use with my wife sometimes. We'll be going somewhere and we're going to end up going to the mall. I know, and I said, well, I told you, when you seen one, you seen them all. Go in there, they're all the same stuff. And I think about, well, how far fig leaves have come. We got designer fig leaves. And we're wearing them here. Hey, tons of all kinds. Well, and that's right, name them, Dolce and Gabbana and Nike and whoever. I mean, so many different kinds. It's amazing what you can do with fig leaves. But if you're here today and you're not saved, we want to offer you salvation, first of all. Anyone who is here who has never trusted Christ, I want you to know he loves you just like you are. And whatever you're dealing with, he knows about it. And he accepts you anyway. That's why we're here. Otherwise, none of us could be here. But he accepted us in all of our mess. Whatever we were dealing with, he loves us. And he's getting us, making us better. So if you're here today and you need salvation, we want to offer that to you. Amen. If you're here and you need a church home, maybe you're already walking with Christ. We would like to be your church family. Amen. We are a portion of a bigger organism called the church, and we're here to help you grow and learn the things that God teaches in his word, and we hope that we can assist you along the way. We know we can. If you commit, God's already committed. Amen. You don't have to worry about it. The commitment part is not from his end that there's a problem. It's always from our end. Amen. So you have to make the commitment. Lord, I need you. I want you to straighten out my twisted mess. Or I've been in your church. Now I want to come here and study and learn. Amen. Either one of those is a good thing. Amen. So we give you that opportunity at this time. Amen. We are very, very happy to be back home and with our church family. We love you guys. You are in our prayers. And we missed you while we were away. Amen. And we thank you for carrying on without us. That just blessed our soul to get good news that the church carried on, even though we were not here, because that's the way it must be.
Amen.
Amen. Carry on. Amen. Y'all know the story, just tell it. Let God do what he does. Amen. So we have done as God commands. We see that there are none, but yet there is room. I'd like